You know how great His love is for you? His love is so great, He chose to pick you up when you fell down. You know how great His love is for you? And when you're sinking in the water, He's walking on the water, lifting you out of the water. When you're on that hill and you're falling over the cliff, He's there. When you're at your wit's end and you don't know what's going on, He's there. He saved you. He saved you. He saved me. Now, on your own and with your own eyes closed, you got a picture where you were. And He came there. He was there, whether it was in a bar, whether it was in your bathroom, or whether it was in your bedroom, whether it was on the floor in your kitchen, whether it was at the altar right here, wherever it was, you cried out, Jesus. And He picked you up. And He picked you up. He picked you up. All through the Word, there are times when men and women would fall in sin and temptation was gripping them. And did my God turn their back? Did He turn His back on them? No. He reached out His hand, picked them up, picked you up. Pick them up. That's how great His love is for you. Now, maybe it wasn't something that you were neck deep in sin. Maybe it was just that you didn't know about Jesus. And He still saved you. And He still came to you. And He still allowed for you to make that decision and that choice for Him to be your Savior, for Him to be your salvation. And that's a reason to praise, and that's a reason to worship. And that's a reason to say thank you. And that's one of the reasons why we're here gathered together as one, is because He's so good. He's so loving. He's so loving. And I love how God just works things out, you know, ties things together. Love, love, love. Pre-service, love, love, love. Worship, God is so good, all-powerful, His love. And what the Lord put on my heart to speak about tonight is salvation. What love, what more love is there than to save people from their death? There is no greater love than to give one's life for another, for their friend, or for another person. Jesus gave His life for us. He gave His life for you. No greater love is there than that. And He gave His love, He gave Himself for you, and we call that salvation. We call that being saved when we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. 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 Thank you, Peter. Thank you. Sometimes I just really want to let him just play and I just talk under the music. I don't. But I know he would, his fingers would get tired and probably bleed if I just had him up there. I know how that feels, so I'm not going to do that to him. Well, praise God.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? You know, the word says that God is what? God is love. And, you know, for real, it all, God just ties everything together. I really prayed that tonight would be an all-encompassing type of service where it would just all blend and all mesh. And, you know, when it all comes from the Holy Spirit, then it all works. Amen? I have a little, some scriptures and some teaching on salvation. And sometimes I think that there are things in scriptures that there are I have a little alfalfa. Sorry, it's the headphones. That's okay. Are you guys okay with that? I'm okay with that. All right, there we go. Can you even see it if I go like this? Sometimes I think that in scripture is like medicine, right? Sometimes there are pills that we can chew on and taste and feel. Sometimes there are things that are like big pills that we just need to swallow and just have faith that it's going to do what it's supposed to do. Yeah. Amen? And so we're going to talk about salvation a little bit. And I've been reading for quite some time on salvation. And so I feel like the Holy Spirit has really opened my eyes and opened my understanding to salvation biblically. And all through the Word, it says that God gave of Himself for us. God gave of everything and gave us these things so that we can come to Him, and in Him we are saved. So it's a gift that He's already given to us, that it's there. It's like that iPad on the chair. It's there. It was already put there. But what do I have to do? I have to go get it. I have to go get it. I have to receive it. I think sometimes we feel in life that we get frustrated and troubled with our Christian walk because we doubt our salvation sometimes. But I don't think we should. It's already there. I heard somewhere that the greatest thing that the Satan ever did was get us to believe that we're not saved. Get us to believe that God isn't really there for us. The simple truth about salvation is that it's great and it's already there. It's already at the table. The salvation door is already open. The salvation grace and the salvation mercy and the salvation love is already there, wrapped in a bow, ready to go at your party, at your waiting for you to grab a hold of it and run. Amen? And sometimes I think we talk ourselves out of that we're not saved, or that salvation isn't real, or that salvation can't be for me, or I'm too dirty for salvation, or some people talk us into salvation is only for good works. You're only saved if you do this, or you're only saved if you do it this way, or do it that way, or go here, or go there. And that's simply not true. The truth of the matter is that God gave us salvation, and that's it. It's done. That's the truth of the matter. Biblically, when you want to research that, read through it. It's already done. It's already there. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for we to be saved. It's done. Jesus said Himself, it's finished. We have to stop talking ourselves out of it. You have to stop playing the game of, I don't know, you know, I cussed today. I don't know if I'm saved. Well, you're walking out of it. Old scratch has got a hold of your thinking and is pulling you out of that salvation. It's taking that gift away from you when you should just kick old scratch. I was reminded of old scratch the other night when I read it on your war room thing. I love that. Something that I have been going over in my mind this whole year, we've been kind of on the truth and the basics, is that you can never get to greatness without walking in truth. You can never get to where God wants you to be without walking in the truth that God gave you, without walking in the truth that God has laid out for us. And the truth is that this, the church as a whole has sometimes laid out salvation as a certificate that guarantees you entrance into heaven. Has kind of laid it out there that if you say this, the right thing, and do the right things, then it's automatic, you're going to go to heaven. I think that's a kind of a different way to prospect and put in perspective. What happens is this. Salvation is a process of power and purpose. When God puts salvation together, the whole plan together, He made us to be powerful. He made you to be powerful. And I think that as believers, we have to shift this kind of thinking. And maybe it's not here, but you can definitely go out and hear that you're not doing enough. You're not giving enough. You're not doing this enough. You're not coming to church on every Sunday of every day of every prayer service. You know what I mean? You're not doing enough to earn salvation. And I believe that we've heard that before other places outside of this church. And I think we need to be the change, to understand that salvation is a gift already given, and you have to decide to receive it or not receive it. That is the choice that we have to make, either to receive or to deny the salvation that's already given to you. When somebody wants to give you a gift and say, brings it to your doorstep and leaves it there and rings your doorbell and leaves, they gave you a gift. And they left. Why? Because they want you to have the gift and just gave it to you. They don't want it back. They want you to receive it and take care of it. It's your choice then to do what? Open the door, take in the gift, and use it for whatever it is used for. Yes? Salvation for us as believers is power and purpose. It's your power in Him. When God provides salvation, when God gave us the gift of salvation, when God gave you that package of salvation, it displays to you His power in your life. His power is then put on display. That's what He gave you. He gave you the gift to supply you with power so everybody can see the power of God through you. Believers should go from the bottom to the top. So your success in life in Christ is based upon your salvation and your wrapping yourself around this gift and saying, I got it, I'm running with it, and the power that I have now is going to lead me to successful life. Now, success by the world standards is money, 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 house, 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 car, 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 best job in the world, whatever you want to place on that. Success in Christ is in Him, because that's all you need. That's the salvation. From the bottom to the top. Success in life, I heard a pastor say it this way, success in life should be your portion. It should be your portion. Success in this life should be your portion. It's yours. It should be your portion and your righteousness should be evident. The power of Christ inside of you via the Holy Spirit gives you power and success in this life, and your righteousness should be evident to anybody who sees your life. These things that we need to be successful in life are locked away in our salvation. And the key is Jesus Christ. Once you've received salvation, see, I like how the word of God says you receive salvation, because you have to take it in. You have to take ownership of it. It's not only just given to you, but you have to get into it. Once you receive salvation, once you believe, there is no need for you to negotiate or talk with your sinful side. There's no need. You don't need to negotiate. That means talk with, like your flesh side or your sin side has power over you. It doesn't have power over you. You have power over it via the Holy Spirit. So what do you do to that flesh, sinful temptation side? Like you would do to old Scratch, you just kick him in the face. Salvation gives you power. It has made you free. Free to walk in the purpose God had for you. Free to walk in the purpose and to prosper. See, the word says his plan for you is to allow you to prosper. He knows the plan for you, right? The plan is for good, not for evil, to prosper. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. And I want us to see something here as we dive into what the word says about salvation. And really, the whole book is about salvation. You know, from cover to cover, all you have to do is attach the dots. You know, you might go over here, then go over here, but it's all about salvation. Because it's all about you becoming saved from death into life through Jesus Christ. One thing about salvation is that salvation looks like a life free from oppression and full of prayer and full of power. Your salvation is tied to freedom, it's tied to deliverance, and it's tied to serving the Lord. The word would say this: once you have salvation, once you have received salvation, once salvation has entered your life, you are a new person walking in promises. In Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 26, it says this: for everyone has sinned. Say that. For everyone has sinned. And I want you to make it a little personal. Say, for I have sinned. Now it says this then: for everyone has sinned, we fall short of God's glorious standard. And 24 says this: yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. Now, doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter what you think you did. Doesn't matter what you think you did. It says here that yet God deserved, with undeserved kindness, you didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. But nonetheless, he declares that you are righteous. Amen. Amen. He says he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins, because Jesus became the sacrifice. You see, Jesus became the sacrifice that saved you and me. That saved you and me from what? From eternal death. So when Jesus died on the cross, He became the sacrifice. Our sins were wiped away. And God says, as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
The cool thing I understand, the cool thing I never really caught on to about salvation is that I'm saved.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I do. If I hold on to that gift, I'm saved. And in that salvation, I'm not going to want to do the things I used to do. You see? Because I want to hold on to this gift, and I don't want to let it go. Amen. When we come to the Lord Jesus as sinners and accept Him as our Savior, He forgives us and justifies you and declares you His son and His daughter. That's salvation right there. He has declared you. He gave you a gift. He has justified you. He gave you a gift that we didn't deserve. He's given me a gift that I didn't deserve. Talk about truth in salvation. Truth in what reality really is that no matter what people tell me here, no matter what the devil tries to throw in my mind here, if I hold on to that, I'm saved. If I hold on to that, we have salvation. When Jesus was on the cross, our sins were laid at His feet. Our sins were laid on Him, you could say. Some places have said that. We laid our sins on Him and He took the punishment for them. Now, there's no more judgment for sin. There's no more judgment for sin. Sin was taken care of. Do you see? The truth is that when Jesus was on the cross, all the sins that were going on then and all the sins that were coming later were put upon Him. And He bore all those. So now that was the judgment. You, me, there is no more condemnation. There is no more judgment because Jesus took it all.
Yes.
Amen. Every sin that comes into our life has already been judged and already been punished when Christ died for us on the cross. It's already done. That's why Jesus said, "It is finished." No more power of sin over us. No more. It's done. Some might then say, if that's true, then it doesn't make a difference whether we continue in sin or not. If we're already saved, does it matter? Some might say that. Then I can just keep on sinning. Well, the truth is, the Word talks about that. First Peter. When you're going there, in my 11 years of being saved, I've heard that, and I'm sure you've heard that. I'm sure most of us heard that people go around saying, I'm saved by grace, I can do whatever I want. I must have heard that before.
Yeah.
From people. I can do whatever I want. I'm okay. Well, what does the Word say? Let's look at that. Ooh. Maybe I am in 2 Peter. Let me double check here. Bear with me here. No, 1 Peter. We're going to start in verse chapter 1. I'm going to start in 21. It says, through Christ you have come to trust God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. And verse 22 says, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. You see that there? Let's read it again. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. The truth is the Word of God. So when you obey the truth, your sins are cleansed. You see. So it says here, keep going. It says, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. You see. We can't go on sinning, lest we drop the prize of salvation, the gift of salvation. Let's turn to the book of Mark. When we accept Christ as our Savior, not only are we forgiven and justified, but he also gives us this thing called a new nature. You see? Mark chapter 16. Oh, if I can get there, praise God. Mark chapter 16, and we're going to read a couple verses here. Mark chapter 16, and we're going to start in verse 14. Still later he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together, and he rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief. He rebuked them because they had some unbelief. Now, keep going. Because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. Verse 15, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Verse 16, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, we just talked about when Jesus died on the cross, he gave us the gift of salvation. He made us righteous and justified. Amen? And we talk about, well, some people will say then, I'm saved, I'm already saved, I'm going to be saved, I can act how I want. Well, it says here, Jesus says this. He says, anyone who believes in me and is baptized will be saved. And then it keeps going and says, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. So belief means that I believe that that gift is there for me. I believe that that gift of salvation is there for me, that it was given by God for me. And I believe that so much that I'm going to take hold of it, I'm going to walk in it, I'm going to be covered by it. And I believe and I go forward. A refusal to believe is to believe that that gift right there is not for me, and I walk away. That's what Jesus is talking about here. But anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Anyone who believes and jumps into the salvation and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who looks at that gift and says, that's not for me, and walks away will be condemned. God gave you that gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything for it. He just gave it to you because he loves you. And when you walk away in unbelief, it's talking about then you will be condemned. And then it keeps going on 17. It says, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak with new languages. They will be able to handle snakes in safety, and if they drink any poisonous, it will not hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. All because they believe. Amen? So when we accept Christ as a Savior, not only does he forgive us and justify us, but he gives us a new nature, a divine nature, a born-again type nature, a new person. We become God's children. The new nature loves God and hates sin. But the new nature loves people. You see, loves people, hates the sin. I'm sure we've heard it before. Love the person, hate the sin, right? Or love the sin, Hate, no, love the sinner, hate the sin. There we go, right? Better edit that. Because we were saved to love, because He loves us. Amen? It makes us desire to live without sinning. Because I have this salvation, I don't want to go back to what I was doing before. And whatever I was doing before might not have been good. And if I go back to that, then I'm dropping my salvation in unbelief and going back to this. No born-again Christian can be happy in sin. No, because the Holy Spirit inside of you will convict you and make you feel sick to your stomach. Sometimes enough to make you vomit. Sometimes enough to make you feel horrible physically. Until we repent, grab a hold of that salvation and be healed. We've heard Paul say it. Why do I do sinful things? If I have a new nature, I don't want to do them, but even in all my good intentions, I do them. We have to also remember we not only have a new nature that hates sins, but we still also have the old nature that loves sin. That scratches at us. That pulls us. That tries to come at us. We talk about it a lot. There's a conflict always that's inside of us. That's what we're talking about. The old nature wants to sin. The new nature wants to please God. The Word tells you about salvation and this fight, that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Which means the one who is in you is the Holy Spirit, is greater than when the world is trying to do for you or with you. The Holy Spirit is greater. When we are saved and we have salvation, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us telling us, speaking to us about what is godly and what is not. Are we listening? Are we listening? Sometimes we find too often that our old nature, with all its desires and lusts for sinful things, is really, really strong at times. Really, really trying to pull at us. I don't know if I'm the only one. I probably am. That it really gets me, really wants to pull me away from what I know I should be doing. If you're not in that boat, then that's okay. That's good. It carries us away, and we become captive to that. And then when it's all over, we regret it. When it's all over, we regret the nasty thing we said to that person because we lashed out in emotion and in feeling and maybe in a little bit of sinful nature, rather than gentleness and kindness and love. I've been there. I know none of you have. But after it's all over, we regret it. And we tell ourselves, I'm never going to do that again. Never going to do that again. That made me feel so horrible. I was so embarrassed. And blah, 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 blah. That's not me. I'm a Christian. And I'm supposed to be a believer. And I'm supposed to be this way. And they saw that come from me, and man, that spoils my testimony. And then sometime later, the same situation arises, and hopefully the Holy Spirit inside of you checks you before you react. Because you've been there. You know what to do and what not to do. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and if you're listening, it will tell you, no. That's not the way it should go. And when it seems like you don't have any strength for that temptation, this is the reason why Jesus had sent the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 13 says, "And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago." So when you identify, see, God's purpose was to give Christ and us the good news, and Christ is the good news, and the good news that God saved you through Christ. And when you believe that God saved you through Christ, he then identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit. You see. And verse 14 says, "Then the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. And he did this so we would praise and glorify him." You see how this all ties together? The praise, the worship, the word, the truth, all because he chose to save you and to save me. Not because we earned it, but because he chose to do it. Amen. And the power that comes with that is from the Holy Spirit. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were born again, and God gave us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us. 2 Corinthians, just a couple books back. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Says this: "It is God who enables us along with you to stand firm in Christ. He has commissioned us. He has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment of the guarantees, everything that he's promised us." So see, when you believe, when we step out and we grab that gift and receive salvation, his guarantee is that you have the Holy Spirit. Here is the guarantee. Here's the guarantee. Here it is. And that's the first installment. That's the first thing he gives us. And then all of these promises come after. The Holy Spirit pours out the love of God into our hearts and causes us to feel peace, that peace in Christ that we have because of the Holy Spirit. As the result, we have peace and joy and gladness, happiness. We can delight in the Lord. We have that peace about us because we have the Holy Spirit. We have that love. But when we give in to sin, the Holy Spirit is grieved. The Holy Spirit, he cannot, we choose to let that old nature supersede the Holy Spirit. We allow it to occur. We let that happen. The Holy Spirit is given to us not only to pour out love of God in our hearts, but he gives us the power to say no. He gives you the power to say no. What we have to do in that salvation is grab a hold of the understanding that the Holy Spirit is inside of us and slow down a little bit. And sometimes when we react too fast to situations, we fall into sin. And so we have to slow down a little bit and think, wait a minute. How should I react? How would God do this? What does the love of God in me tell me that I should be doing here in this situation? It gives us the power to say no. Power to say no to the desires of the old and to yield ourselves to what God is telling us to do. Doing those things pleases Him. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit and what the Spirit's telling you to do, and you will not succumb to the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit that was given to you via salvation. Just like Peter walking on the water, as long as he was counting on the Lord to hold him up, it all went good. But at the moment he noticed that he was surrounded by a storm and he was surrounded by all this water, what happened? He started to sink. The wind and the waves got rough. He became afraid. All too often we do the same. Life comes around us. The wind and the waves start hitting us wrong way. We get our eyes off of. We then start to maybe not walk in the Spirit. And now we're walking in the flesh and we begin to sink. In our Christian walk, in our believer walk, in our life's walk, I believe that the Holy Spirit is there for two instances. One is to get you to walk right, first of all. It's to always guide you in the right direction. That's the first thing, that's his first job, to always guide you in the proper way you're supposed to go. And number two is to remind you, hey, you're doing something wrong. So that we can turn from what we're doing wrong and get back on track. A lot of us, I think, if we stop to think about it, we know when we're doing something that God doesn't want us to do. Because we always think, well, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do this or not. It doesn't feel right. Well, it probably isn't. The Holy Spirit inside of you is probably telling you, hey, not something you want to do. And sometimes we yield to that. And we do it, and then we say, hindsight's 20/20. Hindsight's 20/20. Always after the fact, we say, yep, we shouldn't have did that. I knew I shouldn't have did that. Well, then why'd we do it, right? As a parent now, I see where my parents got all that from. I'm telling you not to do it. And then we do it, and then they can sit there and say, I told you so. But you see, salvation, the true salvation is already given to you. It's already there for you to have. You can't lose it, per se. What you can do is walk away from it. That's what happens. You don't lose it, it's still there. It's right there at your front porch, waiting for you to grab onto it. Are you going to open the door and receive it? Or are you going to close the door and let it blow away? And forget it's there. That salvation brings us to a place where we can fellowship with God. There's these things that come along with salvation. The first one that we have to understand is forgiveness. God forgave you a long time ago for everything that you did, everything that you're doing wrong, and everything that you're going to do wrong. You're already forgiven. We have to remember that. It starts there, that He already forgave you. When we remember that, then we can truly grab hold of your new nature. Your new nature in salvation is the man and the woman that God made you to be. That's the new nature. And with that salvation and with that power that salvation brings, you can then work the way that God wants you to work. Do the things God told you to do. Mark 16 says, those who believe and are baptized, these things will accompany those. So these things, you could say, those people who grasp on to salvation and believe on Jesus Christ will then lay their hands on the sick. You see, all these things will be evident. Your righteousness will be evident to people who are looking at you, and they'll look at you and say, what do you have that I don't? And you say, you got it, you just got to receive it. You got it, you just got to grab hold of it. This thing called salvation, this thing called the Holy Spirit, this thing called Christ in me, you already got it. That's the good news, people. That's the good news. Amen? That's the good news. There is no bad news in Christ. It's all good news. Everything that Christ did, everything that God did for us is all good news. And it needs to be shared. Spreading the good news. What's the good news? Salvation. Your salvation is the good news that we can spread. Because your salvation should be evident. Your righteousness should be evident. Your power in salvation should be evident. Somebody's sick in your family. Believe in your salvation and the power of the Holy Spirit and lay hands on them. Because it says you can, and they will be healed. You see, when there's a situation you don't know what to pray for, you can pray in other languages. You can speak a heavenly language and speak straight to God. And you receive straight from God. And you can prophesy. And you can speak into people's lives. And you can have words of wisdom. And you can have words of knowledge about people when you fully jump into that salvation that the Holy Spirit power has for you. These things will accompany those people. I want to be that person. Do you want to be that person? What do you expect from your salvation? Just a free ticket to heaven? Or do you want to live in the power that God says you have via salvation? I want to live in the power that God says I have through salvation. Be able to say, hey, pray for me. I don't feel well. Okay, boom, you're healed. I can't walk. Okay. God says, okay, let's pray. You're healed. Believe and receive, because that's what salvation is talking about. Your salvation has given you power to operate in those things, to operate in the area. Amen? The last phrase I'm going to leave you with is this. We have all eternity to rejoice in the rewards for our victories. But we have only the present moment to win them. We have salvation and the power that comes with salvation to do some damage, and I mean good damage, here in the world. And what I mean is pushing down old scratch and bringing the kingdom of heaven here. In this place, the power of God in this place, making the power of God evident to the people that you're surrounding in your area, in your world, making it evident to them that God is real and that they can receive the same salvation that you have, and they can have the same power that comes from Jesus that you are operating in. It's the salvation that comes from believing in Jesus Christ. There are no victories to be won in heaven. They must all be won here. We have to understand that our salvation is power. And utilize that power out there, in here, to make God's power and those miraculous things that we read about all the time evident here in the world. Amen? That's the truth about your salvation. It's your power. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your truth. And we step into that, and we receive your salvation right now, Lord. And Father, I ask for forgiveness of any sins that I might have done, that I can embrace your salvation fully and walk in the power. And Father, I bless these people here tonight. Father, give them the revelation of your word and your power and your salvation in their life. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for your power working in this church and outside these walls. Glory to you. Praise to you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of the week. You have power, and it's in your salvation. Amen. Amen.